Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
We're putting up new buildings, we're knocking down the old. We're working in the summer heat and in the winter cold. And the labour power we sell, me boys, for a hard-earned weekly pay produces mighty profits for the greedy MBA. And whether we were born here or born in Italy, in Greece, in Spain or Ireland, in England or Fiji, we all of us are workers, united we must stand, until the wealthy bludgers have been driven from our land. We faced deregistration, it backfired in the face. We're not fooled by arbitration, we won't stay in our place. We hit the bosses hard and fast to win and keep our gains, and break a couple of concrete pours to back our lug of claims. So keep your powder dry and hold your head up high. It's class to class and face to face, our limit is the sky. We've got a fighting history and we never will be cowed. Our builder's labour is a name to make a man feel proud.
Good morning, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, 8:55 on your AM dial, 3CR, community radio, 50 years running, 50 years of 3CR, and joining me on the show, as per usual, we have the Three Trees.
Good morning, mate. How are we, everybody? Good morning, good morning.
And also joining us is the Sparrow.
Oh, settle down, mate.
Don't get it all in at once.
Yeah, no, so. just say hello, don't keep going.
God. You never get a word in with that bloke.
Unbelievable.
So, as per usual, we've had a massive week in the union movement, massive week in construction. We've had plenty going on this week. We've obviously had senior official Nigel Davies sacked by the administration. Nigel was, you know, committed trade unionist, you know, and what else can we say?
Well, he was a former organiser.
Former organiser.
Shop steward organiser, and then he stepped up to the national office as assistant
secretary.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, very, very much of full.
He came back to help the union, really.
Yeah, 100%.
He wasn't there for himself.
At a time like this here, you know what I mean, where he was retired, unfortunately. Good for him. Like, yeah. He was able to retire, sitting in the sunset doing what he could. And when the union needed him, he came back, you know?
Yeah, and obviously ruffled a few feathers within and, you know, he wasn't there. He openly said he's not here for the long term. He just wanted to get the union back to the rank and file, which where it belongs, and ruffled a few feathers and, you know, now he's been removed.
Yeah, so that's what happens when you actually do your job and you're an actual unionist.
So, shout out for Nigel and, you know, we all loved him. We still do. So.
Yeah, oh, mate, one of the champions of this world. And just all-round good bloke. You know what I mean? If you actually ever needed someone to talk to, whatever, Nigel was definitely someone you could reach out to and have a good conversation with, you know?
And even just seeing at the branch meeting, the respect he has from the rank and file and, you know, the support of everyone in that room, you know what I mean? We're all gutted that he's gone, so.
At a time like this when you have people saying that they're trade unionists and they're couldn't be anything further from it, you know what I mean? And actions speak louder than words. And then you have Nigel, who actually did what he said.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a proper trade unionist there.
So, yeah.
And we're worse off for him not being here. That's the truth.
A lot going on. What else is happening, mate?
Well, you know, same industry, day in, day out problems that we're going through. But you know what I always find funny? It's amazing how we think we're this big, you know, industry, which we are, but in terms of it, like, you know, we're just a little sort of pocket of Australia, and It's funny how we keep making the news and all this here. We're always on the end of the politicians' tongues, isn't it? Isn't it fantastic?
We'd be the richest union in Australia if we could get a crack every time a story was written about
us. Oh, 100%.
If we could just get a couple of cents each article, we'd be rich.
We'd be the richest union if we got some of that $15 billion we allegedly had. You know what I mean? That'd be interesting.
Talking about how little of the $15 billion we got, I was in the office the other day and I had to put a table together. We didn't even have a screwdriver. It was a heartbroken ass screwdriver. Like, you think if we were the amount of $15 billion, we'd have the best of the best. We probably need that $15 billion the way people are spending money in the joint.
And if you put the table together, it wouldn't be much chop, would it?
Let's just say I wouldn't be the one sitting on that bench seat first. So.
Is it firewood at the minute? It'd be firewood for sure, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Listen, please. But there is a lot going on, and we do have some good people in our union, and, you know, I want to give a big shout-out to, I don't know if any of you are listening to that horrible show, that horrible person, Jackie Felgate. You know, she doesn't like us, and for some reason she blames us for every issue in Victoria and every issue in Australia. She blames us for the Westgate Tunnel. Well, we weren't the ones that said build a tunnel, but you know, the government built a tunnel and it's our fault because no one uses the tunnel. Yeah. I don't know if that's construction workers' fault.
Yeah. We weren't the one who didn't know there was contaminated soil there as well.
Yeah.
We weren't the principal contractor who jacked up over that soil for well over almost a year and a half, 2 years.
And we weren't the one who accepted the quote from the builder, even though there was three other civil builders that priced that job and said it was going to cost a lot more than what they did, but they went with the cheapest quote and the prices blew out. So,
you know what they say, when you buy cheap, you buy twice.
You buy twice. So
definitely.
But anyway, if you would have listened to it, we had a rank and file member. He was on there by the name of Stephen Jolly, mate. Hearing Stephen talk to Jackie and explain what construction's about and how the members of the CFMEU are not criminals because you say in the media they're criminals. None of it's been tested in court. And she was going, she was carrying on about, but the wages are so high and the $15 billion, the wages are 30% higher and people can't afford to build a house because they can't get house tradies because the wages are so big and all this, and they all want to work on the crack. Well, yeah, they do. They all want to. Everyone wants to work on good paying conditions, and everyone deserves. But like Stephen said, there's only limited spots on these big jobs, and you know our skills. And we've all done it. I know at my time as a conqueror in the industry, I've been out of work, and you go work in domestic. And when work picks back up, you go where the money is. And wages were better in domestic, we'd work in domestic. 100%. But you can't blame us for the price of materials and every issue known to man. And then one of her callers rang up. I had a mate who worked, so-called mate, who worked on the Westgate Tunnel, and he'd do 2 hours and then he'd be at home. Well, how about if I firmly believe that wouldn't be the case, but how about if it's true? How about blaming the builder? John Holland with the builder?
John Holland, CBB.
Aren't they in charge of supervision? Supervision? Like, you know, like if I'm a boss, I'm paid to run the job. It's not like the union says we run the job.
It's probably why they went through so many actual bosses on that job.
Yeah.
It was like a merry-go-round. They were just constantly going on and going off.
And it's not like we were the only union on the job, but all these big bill jobs, we're the only union. Well, yes, we push wages and conditions. That's our job. We want the best wages and conditions. We want the best pay. We want the best OH&S, and we're entitled to it. We have enterprise bargaining agreements. We don't do them with the government. We do them with private sector. The majority of our members aren't on the big bill jobs. They're in high rises. They're in commercial construction, in private section. We negotiate with them. To blame us for all the problems with the big build, how about we go back and look at all the bureaucrats that took their share about all these little surveys they do and advisors and all these foremans and all these supervisors and all their relationships, but you keep blaming the members, the hardworking members and members of the CFMEU, men and women. And the hours they do, Jackie, you sit there and you keep going, they're on big money. You go do 12 hours a day. You go do 12 hours on a night shift when you're on a 100K highway. I know you're laughing about the traffic controllers to stop slow and try and degrade a worker. They're out there doing the hard yards, putting food on the table, something you've never had to do.
Yeah.
And the amount of traffic controllers we've had over the time get injured and hurt and maimed, you should have a look at yourself. And if I was a traffic controller and I saw you pull up in your BMW, you wouldn't be. I tell you what, you'd be waiting a week before I turned the sign around to go.
I find it pretty funny how she thinks she speaks for the working class people as well. Yeah. She like they had Tom the Builder on from Toorak, who was obviously. He was fighting the corner of the builders and all the developers and that there. And then she goes, oh, I'm from Toorak too. I have a house in Toorak. She couldn't be...
The working class suburb of Toorak.
A million percent. And I'm like, how in any shape or form does she resonate with the working class people of any working class trade, not just construction? When you turn up and you do 3 hours, 5 days a week... In a nice little cozy studio, I don't think she could do 12 hours in a studio, let alone on some of these jobs in the elements like some of our members do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the funny thing is, if you watch her and you watch her and she's interviewing, watch the interview with Steve Jolly, she reads everything off a teleprompter. She's like the anchorman.
Yeah.
You can write whatever you want. She's like a robot. Yeah. She doesn't have any of her own opinions.
And Steve Jolly absolutely schooled her.
Yeah.
Schooled her.
And shout out, I'm telling you, that was, if you haven't listened to it, go and listen to it.
Oh, it's fantastic.
And it's good to see the rank and file of this union. You know, we need to do more of that. Let's start smashing Jackie's bloody Facebook page with all the good things that CFMEU does.
Yeah.
And at least our members pay tax. Let's go have a look at all them people you've been talking to about, all them bosses that can't get people and people to build houses.
Yeah.
Let's go have a look what they do. You know what I mean? We pay more tax than some of the multinational companies in Australia.
I was talking to a few members on site the other day about this, and I was like, how much did Japan tax last year? Rough figure. They said, oh, I think we're paying 35, 40 cents in the dollar at one point. I said, well, do you know you personally have paid more tax than all these multinational builders on all these big build jobs?
Mm.
I said, because they're paying zero. You know what I mean?
Nada.
I said, but apparently we're the worst in the world, you know? Like, I laughed before COVID. They were saying, oh, we're bikies, we're ice addicts, we're ice... sellers, we sell drugs on site. And then COVID hit, and what happened the next day? We went from being filthy criminals to being essential workers.
Yeah.
With the fireys, with the nurses, with the doctors and the ambos. And why was that? Because Scott Morrison and the government knew we pay taxes. We pay high taxes and we keep the economy going.
And we spend money back in the community.
Our wages we spend in this nation.
Yeah.
These multinationals send their money offshore and pay nothing.
Yeah.
So it's not a revolving door of money. You know what I mean? People can say Victoria's in bad debt, and I'm not going to speak for the government. But whenever these jobs are supplying members' work and members are getting good wages, that money's coming back in. So you could call that good debt in a way, in my opinion, just in relation to that. And I get there's cost blowouts and all that there, but I'm not going to excuse that. At the end of the day, that's there, like you said. If they're going for the cheapest price and not actually following through with anything, and what happens when they go with the cheapest price?
Yeah.
They screw the subby. Subby screws the workers. The workers lose out in the end. It's a natural thing, and that's why we're here, to make sure that shit goes back uphill rather than downhill.
And, you look at that, we have got world's best practice. There's no one in the world that does building and construction as good as our members. You know what I mean?
Honestly.
Victoria, Australia, the construction workers in ETU, plumbers, sparkies, metals, a whole lot. There's no one that does it quicker in the world than what we deliver.
Yeah.
And if you look at, let's have a look at some of these big build jobs, and you look at a commercial construction job, you look at the tender process. In commercial construction, the government actually keeps the builders to their price. In civil, they just get closer to the pin and then go, oh, it's another $10 billion, it's another $5 billion, it's everyone else's. They go on and on. I haven't seen one of these big build contracts or these big builders held to account.
Yep.
Well, if that's what your price, that's what the job should be.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I get there's cost blowouts when materials and that go out, but they've the whole process of tendering these jobs from the big end, from the builders and all that, you look at the amount of use of labour hire. If the government's paying for it, why has we got so much labour hire on the jobs for a start when the labour hire companies say put their 5% on it, the builder puts their 5% on it, and then the taxpayer gets a bill for 10%? So why is that? Direct employed, you save yourself 20% straight off the bat.
And all these companies are just, like all these multinationals are just, they're just like shadows.
Yeah,
they're just managing contractors, and then it's passed down, and it's another managing contractor and another. Why don't they self-perform? Why don't we have all our employees on them jobs full-time?
Yeah. You know
what I mean? Reality it is. If you're creating work, let's create full-time work. yeah, we have labour hire on these jobs, but you might be having a shift here, and you might not get another shift for another month.
There's always going to be a need for labour hire, yeah. But the reality is that, like you said, people want to be direct employed. These jobs, you know, let's have a look at some of the serious management mispractices on these jobs. The way that many a subby have been burnt. Yet I need 40 blokes to get to this job today, and they get there and there's work for two. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the subbies have got to pitch the bill. But instead of blaming the union, how about you blame the people that are managing the jobs, you know, and start having a serious look at them, you know?
But it's easier just to blame the CFMEU. Just easier to blame the workers. And that's, I was telling some of the members the other day when they're talking, because someone asked me, what's this? Why do they keep saying CFMEU tax? I said to him, I'll be totally honest with you. If you worked in domestic, what you'd earn in domestic and what you earn now, that's the gap in between there. That's what they're trying to say is the tax. Yeah. It's not a tax. It's just wages and conditions. It's compliances. Your super, your long service, your ankle link, all that stuff that is enforced.
And stuff you have to pay by law.
Yeah. Not on an ABN.
Yeah.
No sham contracting, directly employed or casual with whoever, but at least you're getting paid your fair whack, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what they want. They want the construction industry to be deregulated completely.
Yeah.
They don't want us here making sure it's all above board. And that's what they're complaining. That's what their tax is about. I mean, hey, I'll tell you now, if it all went, if major construction went to domestic wages tomorrow, they wouldn't be reverting that money back into another project, right? It'd be going straight into someone's pockets. But at the higher levels, not the workers.
Even we've had MIT professors come out about, you know, the blowouts on cost blowouts on some of these big infrastructure jobs. The wages in that, as per our EBA, are indexed, as per all unions, are indexed into the agreement. So they can forecast our wages for a number of years because that's what it's written in the agreement. Where we've had cost blowouts is because of COVID, the likes of manufacturing being offshore and not coming here and all delays. Like, you know, you look at the Westgate, they imported steel for the Westgate Tunnel and it was painted in lead paint. You know what I mean? That's a cost blowout to get all that fixed so we can actually install.
Imported doors with asbestos in it.
Oh, well, you look, even Steve Jolly brought up about the Metro Tunnel, about the lifts and all that, the rort going on that. You don't hear anything about that.
Nothing.
That's from the builder's end, you know. Stuff like that. It's the stuff they get made and bring in overseas and it doesn't actually fit and it doesn't, they have to, you know, adjust it. That's all added cost.
Yeah, and Steve actually was pretty good when he had my mate, like you said, my mate worked 2 hours. He says, just because you say it doesn't mean it's true.
Yeah,
he says there's no accountability. You just come up and say, "Oh, blah blah blah, my mate did this, my mate did that." Where's your accountability? You have no proof, facts, or anything to back it up. But you're just saying it, and automatically that makes everybody guilty.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
And even like you look at the traffic controllers and the labour hire on that job, all their times and all their stuff they do on the job has to get signed off. They all have time books and all that. So if I'm working on that job, say I was working the Metro Tunnel for a labour hire company, I've got to go to the supervisor and he signs off on my hours. So if that supervisor's signing off on someone's full 10, 12, 13 hours, well, he should be sacked, shouldn't he? If you don't get your book signed off, you don't get paid. So I think it's all a bit of malarkey and none of this stuff's all tested. It sounds like a lot of right-wing nutters that have no idea are calling up a crappy radio station. And I feel like we give it too much airtime, but it's like a chalkboard.
She doesn't speak for the working class, basically. All she speaks for is her sponsors. And you don't hear about all these bosses getting sacked off these jobs.
Oh, we better go to a track. So, boom.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds, are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop, hey,
what's that sound? Everybody look what's growing down.
What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street singing songs and they carry inside. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Your life, it will creep. Starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
What a cracking song. What do you got, Three Trees?
Not much, man.
We've just... got just, you know, I've just been looking about the work coming up in the CBD, South Bank and Docklands just over the next couple of years. Work, it's going through council and being approved as well. So a lot of stuff's getting still getting stacked up, but forecast work, what they're talking about, and hopefully it all gets approved. There's between $45 billion and $70 billion worth of work coming up in commercial construction over the next couple of years, next 5 years. So I think there's a lot of good jobs starting to stack up in the city and starting to move. We hopefully some of the changes to negative gear and where it pushes developers so they can negative gear some of their properties will help in the high-rise market. So there is work coming, and we're going to try and capitalise on as much work as humanly possible.
Absolutely.
So some of the bigger builders are winning some good jobs as well. So, you know, it's not all doom and gloom, you know, and we're still pushing forward with the labour hire EBA at the moment. So, we're writing up some new clauses to try and make more people full-time within labour hire and get a bit more respect back for and dignity back for workers.
Yeah. That's the end of the game. Is we want everybody in full-time employment, you know what I mean?
No one wants to be casual, mate. No one wants to know they haven't got a shift or whatever. You want to be able to plan. You want to go away. You want to go away at Christmas time and know you got a job.
Like, I know it's sad to say, but I was talking to some of these guys doing labour hire, and obviously their shifts come through the day before, and sometimes they might get a cancellation of shift, and someone might ring them at 5 a.m, say, hey, listen, can you make this job? And it's devastating to hear, but people are getting up at 5 a.m. just in case they might get a phone call to do a shift and stuff like that there. And and that's the brutal reality of what this industry is, you know what I mean?
Or you're on labour hire, nothing worse being on labour hire. And we are, as a union, going to be campaigning for more direct employed. That's definitely coming.
Yeah.
Nothing worse than being a labour hire. You walk past a supervisor and you think that you've had a bad day, or he's had a bad day, and he doesn't like the look of you. Next day, you don't have a shift. You know what I mean? It's no way to be.
Like some of these jobs, it's just, you know what I mean. You get your crew there, and when someone takes a sick day or a couple of days off, someone else goes in there, and you're sort of off that roster, which is sort of pushing people not to work while they're crooking that there, which ends up making everybody else sick and all that there, you know what I mean? So that's what we want. We want people employed, getting sick days and all that there, you know?
And we are going into an EBA campaign, and we're going to be doing more on that, but we had a bit of an insight of what some of the builders want in their EBA, especially Three Trees has done a bit of research on what, lean lease, wasn't it, in South Oz?
Yeah,
what the builders?
Lean lease, and all the foam workers in South Australia, they're obviously doing their negotiations now. Obviously, we come up with our log of claims, they come up with their log of claims, and some of the stuff they came back with was pretty... Like, we sit and talk about they're coming after the RDOs, they're coming after all these conditions and that there, and people think, oh, it's just a broken record, and you keep saying it, and you keep saying it, but when it's on paper in front of you in draft format, they want it and they're coming for it, you know what I mean? And the only way we can stop that is by sticking together and having the blue to 100%. Win what we want, you know what I mean? Nothing, like, we enjoy some of these things now, like, and we talk about it, long service leave, CBOS, ankle link and all that there, holiday pay, all this here shit, and it was all fought for by the older generation. So, we're just enjoying it now.
What's some of the things they've put down in paper they want to get rid of?
Well, look, they don't want any side allowance. Anything under 100 million, they don't want it to be side allowance.
Yeah.
Working RDOs, they want to have a smaller window where they can negotiate to work RDOs. We have obviously a long
criteria.
Long time. They're seeing unforeseen circumstances and they need to work one of our RDOs. They need to consult with us. Then we speak to the members. If they want to work it, then we'll work it out with them. You know what I mean? But they want to close that window, obviously.
They want to be able to tell you on the Friday you're working the Monday.
Yep, exactly right.
It doesn't matter if you've had something planned for the last 2 weeks with the family and the missus and all that.
They want, for example, like inclement weather like we've had this week, they want it to be solely in the boss's hands, whether it goes ahead or not.
Yeah.
So you might have 20 blokes that are ready to do a big pour and it's pissing down rain, and they'll say, yeah, well, we want to start. Oh, yeah. It's up to us.
Mate, as a concreter, how many times I've seen a builder try and put a truck on a pump and go, oh, the concrete's already here, the concrete's already here. Yeah. Please.
Yeah.
And people don't understand. Like, you hear the general public, oh, you don't want to work in the rain. Yeah, I don't want to work in the rain, mate. We get cold, we get sick. Would you work in your office when the sprinklers are going?
Exactly right.
Don't expect me or my members to do the same thing.
And it's dangerous, by the way.
And it's dangerous.
It's completely dangerous. It's a safety issue. Overall, it's a safety issue, but we just don't do it. The RDOs, they want to come after the RDOs. They want to shorten the RDO banks.
Yeah, what other ones?
They want to make that more
flexible,
which is a bad thing. And if you have RDOs at the end of the year, they want to pay you them out. They don't want you to start the new year with any RDOs because they don't want you taking time off.
Yeah.
So stuff like that there. There's a few more things. I mean, we could go on and on about it. Another thing is they want penalties put in there for the...
They want to do something around the heat too, don't they? They want to make it hotter.
Oh, yeah, they want the heat. They want to get rid of it altogether.
Yeah.
They want you just to sit in the shed until it's manageable. But like, what's manageable?
At the boss's discretion.
They want to put clauses in there for the union delegates and the union officials. If they basically don't do what the builders say, then it's technically talking out of turn, and it's what they'll class as industrial action. And they want penalties and fines to be given to the union reps.
Yeah.
Now, I don't see anything in there for the bosses who break the rules.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's nothing in there about that, you know, but they just want everything to... So basically, they want the whole... They've got the whole cookie jar, basically, and they want the crumbs. That's what they're basically asking for.
Grubs. And that, don't think that's just on the South Australian body. We've seen what the Liberals have done in their inquiry up there. They're talking about bringing a code to get rid of all that sort of stuff. But we have to move right along because we're getting to the end of the show, and I do want to give a shout-out to... on the 14th, we have Radio Fon. So call in on the day. The phone number is, if you got a pen, 94198377. So make sure you call, and that number again is 94198377. Radio Fon. We got to try and get as much money in for 3CR as we humanly possible. So on the 14th, we'll be going live.
So and it's community radio. It's not sponsored by the big wigs. Not like the Jackie Failgates of the world. It's your
uncensored
radio. It's your radio
uncensored
station.
So. Make sure you call in. If you want free trees to mow your lawns, if you want Sparrow, you'll do whatever you want. Isn't that right, Sparrow? Yeah, good answer, mate. Keep a lid on it, mate. Keep a lid on it. All right, we better go in the Scallywags.
Poor.
Well, obviously, Len Lease and all the grubby builders in South Australia. Yeah, that's a joke.
Trying to take us on, you know what I mean? Trying to take away from what the workers have.
Jackie Felgate and her nonsense callers.
Yeah. So-called unionists who say they're unionists but are really not.
Who else we got?
Key Constructions, they were trying to hide in the rain the other day. That was no good.
What about the pool? Tom Hardy, you just mentioned.
Oh, Tom Hardy, yeah. Tom Hardy.
Short story.
Helen Mirren was basically talking about how bad it is for the Zionists in Israel at the minute, and Tom Hardy laughed at her and says, you're fucking joking, right? And then they sacked him off the set. So,
please.
There you go.
Who are we going there? I'd have to say Lendlease. South Australian Builders.
Yeah, South Australian Builders.
It's a whole lot of them in the formworkers.
Jackie Failgate for being a sook.
Sookie Lard.
Jackie and Tom from Toorak. Tom the Builder from Toorak.
We going Tom the Toorak or which one?
Jackie Failgate. Jackie Failgate all day.
And we better go out the same old way. Dare the struggle.
Dare to win.
If you don't fight,
you lose.
And that's Good Morning from the Concrete Gang. Yanni.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.